Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
Welcome to Straight Talk with Patty. I'm Patty Foster, your host for today's program, and with us is David Barton. He's a founder of Wall Builders, and he's going to be speaking today with a group about God's warning to America in 2021. David, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. So we'll have a nice short time together as you get ready to talk with everybody. And David, I was wondering, just give all the audience an idea. What is Wall Builders?
It's a Bible name that we've taken from the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, you have the story of a nation that had been torn down in areas and they went and rebuilt it. What we like about that story is that it is the biggest grassroots effort identified in the Bible. It's everybody got involved in doing something. And when they did, their entire nation changed. And so it's not that you need people up top or people at the bottom. You just need everybody doing something. And so that's what we see a lot of now, is there's a lot of concern to people, but not a lot of involvement. Or they're concerned about the national level. We need to be focused on the local level. Just rebuild what's around you. And so that's how you get healthy historically, is from the bottom up, not the top down. But the national media is such today that we all watch national news, and we're focused on the national stuff, what the president does, what the Supreme Court does, what the Congress does, and that's all important. But it's also important what happens at our local schools, our local city councils, what happens at our local state reps. And those are areas we can make a huge difference. We just have to get involved. And by the way, it doesn't have to be political. It can be other things as well. Just what you do with your neighbors, what you do with your neighborhood, what you do at your church, what you do with civic groups. Everybody doing something will turn this thing around.
Together we can make it together and follow God and the Constitution, everything involved there. So talk to us now, David, and whatever the Lord lays on you here, about your message, God's warning to America in 2021. If you could break down kind of the anatomy, the structure, what's in there, talk with us.
Yeah, this is a real unique time in American history, and I don't say that as hyperbole. I say that from polling. We do a lot of national polling, work with a lot of national pollsters, and particularly for the faith community, we've never seen a time like this. Faith is on the decline in America. Among Christians, the number of Christians in America has dropped 35% in the last 40 years. So it is straight down. The largest group in America now, the fastest growing religious group in America now, are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, those who have no religion. Democrats recently did a welcoming resolution to their party because their largest constituency now is atheist and non-religious. And so that's a new thing for Democrats, but that's where they are at this point, and that's where America's headed. We know that right now, even among Christians, only 9% read the Bible on a daily basis. Only 1 out of 16 Americans has what we call a biblical worldview. That biblical worldview, and it used to be that virtually everyone had that. Even if you were not a person of faith, you still knew the Good Samaritan, the Golden Rule, and you knew about telling the truth, you knew about doing all those virtues. So where we are now, we're in such a secular setting, secular society, that we're more Machiavellian, that the end justifies the means. And so we're the most polarized as a nation since 1856. We haven't been this polarized. That was not a good outcome back then. And what I think is the greatest need we have today is a love for truth. And I say that understanding very well that the two polarized sides each believe they're representing truth. But right now, the problem we have polling-wise is 2 out of 3 Americans say there is no absolute moral truth except that which I determine for myself. And so truth becomes my truth rather than absolute truth. And what we see are parties are more interested in winning than having truth. And where there used to be a lot of areas of agreement between parties on certain things, a lot of differences, but there were some areas of agreement. Not anymore. I mean, if you love America, I hate America. Whatever you're for, I'm against. And that's not a healthy position to be. And so what happens now is, rather than believing everything we hear, even from our own media side, you know, if you tend to be conservative, you go with Fox, or you go with Victory News, or you go with Newsmax or Epic Times. If you tend to be on the other side, you go CNN or MSNBC or whatever. Whatever my side says is what is truth, and nobody checks that to see. And there's mistakes on both sides. And so if we don't get back to loving the truth, we'll never find the right solutions. So for me as a Christian, I think it's very significant that the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians that if you don't have a love for the truth, you will believe a delusion. And as a result, Scripture says you'll be damned. In other words, you'll have hard consequences. And so that's where we've headed in a lot of areas now. We're no longer looking at schools to teach truth. We want to teach critical race theory, which is not truth. We have a collection of more than 120,000 historical documents from 1812, so I can tell you what truth is because we own the originals. And how many black heroes we had back there that we no longer talk about. America was a melting pot. George Washington had 76 generals, 28 of them were from foreign nations. It was never an all-white nation, never. We were the first in the world to ban the slave trade. We were the fourth in the world to ban slavery. We've always been among the world leaders. We had problems, you bet we had problems. We're humans, but we were always among the leaders in doing the right thing. You'll never hear that today. And so that's a problem, and people, especially younger generations who get no perspective on history. As a matter of fact, we have a state that just recently passed its history standards for the next 10 years. For the next 10 years, it will not teach the American Revolution or the Civil War or World War I or World War II or the Holocaust. The only thing they're going to teach is 1619, and that's not even accurate. So that's a problem for us, and we're letting that happen. People in the state let it happen. And if you knew the truth and loved the truth, it would have a different outcome. So that's the biggest challenge I think we have right now is I can no longer trust my media sources. I can no longer trust the people who tell me stuff. I've got to go find out on my own. And by the way, even social media is no longer a safe place to find out. I was recently doing a study, writing another book, and we were covering Cecil B. DeMille, and we were covering John Clump, two heroes, one from Western history and one from entertainment history. And I know both of them to be extremely strong Christians and did a lot of Christian things in the culture. So I was on Bing, and I looked up Christian Cecil B. DeMille, and I looked up Christian John Clump, and there was nothing there. And I thought, I wonder. So I switched over to DuckDuckGo as a search and had pages and pages come up of as Christians, and it wouldn't even show on Bing. So even doing just a simple search, a web search, I can't even trust that anymore. I have to dig deeper. I'm going to have to go back into old written books if I have to and get back online for things like that. So it's a challenging time for Americans. And if we don't dig in and just demand that we teach ourselves the truth and not just believe it because somebody heard it or I heard it on three news sources or I've seen it on two social media feeds, that's no longer good enough anymore.
And talk with us, David, if you can, about truth, the love of truth, and about digging in. What are some ways that he has really chiseled that love for truth? How has he gone about that?
It starts with being willing to change yourself. There's a great Bible verse in Psalm 55:19 where God says, because they don't fear me, they don't change. And there is a tendency that we get set in our ways even at a very young age. I'm comfortable with something, that's what I want to do. I mean, we see it with things as simple as our diet. There's certain things we love, so we'll just stick there and eat. And not that we need to explore diets, but if you take that analogy, we do that with information as well. This is information I'm comfortable with. I'm not going anywhere else for it. And as a result, we're not necessarily getting all that's out there. And so it really takes digging and searching. There's a Bible verse in Acts 17:11 I love. Paul was the most credentialed of all the apostles. I mean, he was the guy. He'd studied. He knew all the law. And while he was on his second missionary journey, he said, these guys in Berea, said, I love them. Because he said, they don't believe anything I say unless they go check it out personally. And that's exactly where we have to be, is even people that I love and trust, I'm still going to check it out. And there's a lot of stuff that I find that I had bought into that when I dig deeper, this is not the way I thought it was. And so you have to be willing to confront yourself first off and change and make yourself uncomfortable if you have to be and say, you know, wherever truth is, that's where I'm going to end up. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth. And so wherever we find truth, that's the direction God wants us to head. And so for me, that's the biggest challenge is unlearning things that I've learned or making myself uncomfortable. There's another incident where Jesus talks about old wineskins and new wineskins. And old wineskins are set in their ways. New wineskins are flexible. And, you know, I'm sitting here with a lot of white hair, and I'm up in my 60s, and my gosh, I'm going to change as much as I need to. And if I have to be like a young millennial or Gen Zer in the way I think at times, I'm going to do that. You know, it's just, so you have to be willing to confront yourself and have to be willing to make those changes. Otherwise, you won't follow truth.
That's right. Great attitude.
Thank you.
So talk to us about contact. If someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to go about that?
Easy way is wallbuilders.com. And we'll have tons of stuff there. I've written about 40 books, but we have several hundred good books on the web that we have vetted and gone through for truth. We also have probably 1,500, 2,000 articles on the web with most issues that come up in today's culture. So, I'll just take a simple one, Star Spangled Banner. People have said, you know, that's a real racist thing. Well, that means you don't know history, because Francis Scott Key was a guy that was a free attorney for slaves, freed hundreds of slaves by his actions. He's the guy who wrote that. As a matter of fact, he was so anti-slavery. He was one of the leaders of a national abolition, national anti-slavery society, and the newspapers said that he defended blacks so much that they called him the N-word lawyer. I mean, and here we are saying he's a racist. Oh my gosh, how can you say that? It's because we don't know. And so we're told that. Everybody's climbing onto that. Nike's pulling their shoes. And so it's got to be true. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. No, that's one of those areas where it's dead wrong. Same with Columbus. Columbus had 600 statues, and now we're tearing them down because he's a racist. So does that mean every generation prior to this generation knew that Columbus was racist and celebrated him? Or maybe we don't know as much about Columbus as we think. Well, genocide, yeah. He did wipe out a tribe of cannibals who had killed his men and eaten his men. Now, if you want to call that a genocide, I call that more like wiping out ISIS, and nobody's calling wiping out ISIS in the Middle East a genocide. That's essentially what Columbus did. There's always more to the story, and today we're hearing things, and we're kind of seeing all over the news. We get inundated. 83 articles have told us Columbus is a bad guy, so it must be true. No, go dig it out. And so those are the kind of articles we have at wallbuilders.com. Things that are going on in the culture, if there is a historical perspective, we'll show you what it is. And again, we own those 120,000 documents from 41812. We have the second work ever done by Columbus, a journal of his voyages from his own hand. There were more than 10,000 people that went with Columbus. They wrote, they kept diaries, they kept memoirs. Why not consult the guys who were actually there as opposed to the guys 400 years later, 500 years later, who are telling us something totally different? So that's what we think is important. That's what WorldBuilders.com is all about.
Yes. As we wrap up our time together, David, you mentioned more to the story. How about you pass along whatever closing comment, thought, challenge of more to the story you want to point out, share with the audience?
Yeah, the more to the story that I would say, first off, is an attitude that we each need to have, and that is we now have to work hard to find truth. We used to be able to rely on our schools to tell us, or our pastors to tell us, or our neighbors to tell us. You can't do that anymore. You can't rely on anything. For everybody's saying Columbus is a bad guy. Yeah, but they haven't checked it out. So the first thing I'd say is that the rest of the story is you have to be willing, first off, to work hard, because this is going to take independent action work. You can't rely on others. You can't even rely on us at WallBuilders. You need to check everything out. We say, go back to the sources and see. So that's one really important thing. The rest of the story that I would say is we are now, I would point to someone like a John Clem or a Bronco Charlie or an Annie Oakley. People may know the last name, but these are all folks that in their day, Annie Oakley was a sharpshooter at 9. John Clem was a lieutenant in the Union Army, a hero in military battles at the age of 12. Bronco Charlie was perhaps the most famous Pony Express rider. He was 11 years old as a Pony Express rider. So we're in a culture where that even our age and our abilities have been redefined. And we're told, hey, you need 12 years of school. President Biden says you need another 4 years of school. Until 1920 in America, nobody went to school past the eighth grade, eighth level. That was it. You either got a career or a college at eighth level. And so one of the things we do in the summer is we have a lot of training sessions for young people 18 to 25, 2 weeks at a time. And we have these kids in high school and doctoral work, coming out of high school, going into college, but they're in doctoral work oftentimes at 25. And we have not had a single kid in years pass the eighth grade exit exam from 1920. And so we think we're very smart because we have technology. It's the rest of the story is go back and see how smart they were with what they did by taking some of their test and seeing if we're really as smart as we think we are. So I would say we're not as smart as we think we are. We have technology at our fingers. We have a lot of information, but it's not always true. And so we need to be like those guys in the 1920s and go back and check things out.
Time to do the work.
Time to do the work. That's right.
Wow. Thank you, David. I so appreciate your time together for Straight Talk with Patty.
Thanks, Patty. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.